Discord recently came into the headlines again, after one of their videos became one of the most viewed videos in YouTube history. The video was just some dumb video about loot boxes being on Discord, and it gained over 600 million views in a single day, all from viewbotting. It was funny, everybody was talking about it, and eventually the numbers would turn back to its actual amount. The video reminded me of how big Discord has actually become in recent years. As you see, all of these hundreds of millions of views were coming from all the users logging into Discord and having this video autoplay without people even realizing or looking at it, which is what caused this video to have so many views. But that made me realize how huge this app has actually become in just the last few years alone. I mean, the app is only 8 years old and has already amassed over 600 million users, with Discord now currently being valued at almost $15 billion. That's really insane. This is almost double the size of what the app was when I first made a video on Discord, making it one of the most powerful and highly valued tech companies in the world right now. And yet, unlike any other tech giant, Discord doesn't have ads, it doesn't sell its data, and it's free to use. It's rejected takeover deals from Microsoft and many other tech giants because the founders believe the app is going to take over the world. And to be fair, its valuation is skyrocketing through the roof. And at the same time, it's barely even making any money. Apart from boosting servers and Nitro boosting your own profile, there's really no other business model here. And so things don't really add up until you realize that Discord is burning through investment cash to skyrocket its user base and become the global hub of communication for Generation Z, which it's doing very successfully. And the reason they're doing this is because once Discord has enough users and global power, money's not even a question at that point. It's all about having a central hub that you can then use against all competitor sites. Because once Discord has enough users and global power, the app has leverage over everyone, making it insanely powerful. But with Discord's crazy growth has come some very dark challenges that need to be addressed. Because recently, Discord has become one of the main hotspots for hackers, criminals, doxing, scams, and even political issues. And the people running this entire show are becoming more and more unhinged. This is all happening at the worst time for Discord. The stakes are incredibly high, as the app has literally billions to lose if it doesn't address these big challenges right now. And these challenges are becoming overwhelming for Discord. So trust me when I say there's a truly disturbing side to Discord that the app doesn't want you or investors to know about. So that begs the question, who are these people running the app? And will Discord be able to control the darkness growing inside of it? Well, to answer this, we need to go back to where it all started. In 2008, 21-year-old Jason Citron was a part-time programmer, being hired as a freelancer for small gaming studios. Being a gamer himself, he threw his abilities into his work and became unbelievably talented at programming. He'd already worked at so many studios at the age of just 21. And yet at the same time, he wanted to do more with his life and build something that would revolutionize the gaming industry. Because it was around this time that he was starting to see the success of other young programmers just like him, who were booming in Silicon Valley. People like Mark Zuckerberg, who just 4 years into making Facebook, was already on his path to being a billionaire. And Jason wanted to join in on this new digital gold rush. And so being young, intelligent, and full of ambition, he would begin his new startup, OpenFaint. Now, OpenFaint was supposed to be a straightforward social media platform that would be integrated with mobile games, and the concept was very innovative at the time. There was no real competition, which allowed OpenFaint to become a part of the gaming community by fusing achievements, leaderboards, and chat tools all into a single cohesive entity. Fruit Ninja, Jetpack Joyride, and Tiny Wings were among the well-known titles that made use of OpenFaint. And this idea was a huge success. Almost immediately, the company grew massively, and Jason rode the wave of Silicon Valley success. Fast forward a few years, and by 2011, he'd seen so much success that offers were coming in from everywhere to buy the company. One offer came from a Japanese firm called Gree, who offered 24-year-old Jason $104 million for the company. If he took this offer, he knew he would never have to work another day in his life. He could travel anywhere, live in luxury, and never have to worry about anything. And so, of course, naturally, he took the deal and sold the company. But that wasn't the whole story. In fact, there was another reason pushing Jason to sell the company behind the scenes, something that only came out a few years later. You see, in a recent class action lawsuit, Jason and OpenFaint were accused of mishandling user data, literally storing and selling this personal information, and of, quote, accessing, monitoring, and storing the unique device identifiers for mobile devices along with personally identifiable information, such as users' exact GPS location, internet browsing history, and Facebook and Twitter profiles, all without the user's knowledge or consent. Clearly following in the footsteps of his idol Mark Zuckerberg, who called his users dumb f***ing. works. But it turned out OpenFaint's entire business strategy depended on obtaining personal information without authorization and selling it on to consumers for a profit. We're talking about everything from your age and gender to your location, contacts, and gaming habits. And none of this was much of a secret behind the scenes. OpenFaint stockholders, staff, and of course Jason himself were all very aware of this, and they all chose to ignore this once they realized how much money they could make from it. And somehow, even with this whole court case, Jason was able to walk away scot-free, and the matter was withdrawn without any explanation. He was just left with millions and millions in his bank account and nothing to do. I mean, he was now free to do whatever he wanted, but by doing nothing, he quickly fell into a life of permanent ambient discontent. He was deeply bored, and being an ambitious person, he knew he could do more than this. Something bigger was calling him. And so 1 year after selling the business, Jason decided to try his luck again, but this time with an even bigger goal, to create the world's biggest communication app. And that app would be known as Discord. However, this time things would be different. His first few months creating the app were difficult, to put it mildly. Discord's speech feature was a complete mess, user connections were shaky at best, and the quality was inconsistent. Within a few months, it already seemed like the Silicon Valley dream seemed out of reach. Maybe he just got lucky the first time. Regardless, he carried on the confidence that came from his last success, and Jason fixated on the app. Him and his team wouldn't let this be a flop, and over time, one by one, all the key issues that were causing problems were fixed. New management was introduced, calls stabilized, and people started to take notice. Although the app's user base was limited at first, Twitch streamers and family members soon started promoting it. Internet users started favoring Discord because of its user-friendliness, its ability to integrate service with Skype's voice chat features, and the seeming security that came with it. And once all these key features were ticked off, Jason had hit the golden point. The idea and execution had been pulled off excellently, and all was left was the need for more and more investments to scale up this formula. And as more and more investments poured in from Silicon Valley, the cash started rolling in. It went from millions to hundreds of millions to billions. And with this exponential rise in investment came a pouring amount of users. The app was becoming a huge success without any real business model. It was really just a very simple idea. Accrue users, show them off to investors, reinvest investor money, gain more users, and then gain more investments. And it became so successful that Discord gained more users than Reddit, allowing Jason to achieve his dreams once again. And just like his first business, he would do the same thing again. Raise the company value to huge amounts, then wait for some huge company to buy it off, and let them figure out how to make the profits. And just like OpenFaint, this did come at a darker cost. But unlike OpenFaint, the scale of the problem at Discord was so much larger, and only now are people finally waking up to this. You see, Discord follows the classic Silicon Valley lean startup model. Have a tiny team, keep costs the absolute bare minimum, and grow a giant unprofitable user base that you can then sell on for billions to some giant conglomerates, and then rinse and repeat. And yet, by cutting the cost down in this way, Discord has run into some very disturbing problems. And once again, just like with OpenFaint, there's the issue of data security. But it's not only this time. Discord is now becoming one of the main tools for criminals and doxers. Which is why today, if you click on some random Discord server links, you can easily find yourself in hot water very quickly. But if you used our video sponsor Guardio, you would be protected. You see, Guardio isn't just another standard antivirus software. Instead, it's like your first line of defense against online threats, blocking harmful sites, phishing emails, detecting malware, and even providing patent technology that protects your social accounts from being hijacked. And guess what? It also offers real-time alerts for personal information leaks, making sure you're always ahead of scammers. I've personally tried Guardio, and the setup was a breeze. Just a few clicks and it instantly scanned my browser, highlighting threats I wasn't even aware of. It also just gives me peace of mind, knowing that my family and I are protected. And this is a priceless feeling, especially since one account covers up to 5 family members. However, what really sets Guardio apart is its approach to modern threats. It doesn't just wait for threats to hit your device, it stops them in their tracks. Plus, with Guardio, you're not just getting a security tool, you're getting a security partner that monitors for data breaches and scams in real time. So here's the deal for you. Head over to guard.io/moon to get a free security scan and a 7-day free trial of their premium features, and 20% off the monthly subscription. So protect yourself and your loved ones online today. Don't wait for a security scare to take action, and check out Guardio today. But why? Why are they using Discord? And who's actually managing Discord day to day that's overseeing this stuff? Well, to understand this, we need to actually uncover who's running the app from the trenches. Well, it turns out to keep the Discord team lean and small, they, just like Reddit, outsource much of the administration to some very questionable people. You see, while Reddit's controlled by some creepy Reddit mods, Discord turns out to be run by a team of furries. You see, Discord hosts over 100,000 servers that caters to a wide range of interests, and 15,000 of these include public service dedicated to the furry community, making the app evidently a place for furries. And small lean tech companies like Discord rely on its own communities to run the site, while the programmers work on the back end. And so naturally, if Discord is a hub for furries, some of them will trickle up into management positions. But the issues with this came to a head in January of 2019, when a Discord user got into contact with a Discord admin known as TinyFeeks, an admin on a prominent furry server. It all started when the Discord user saw Cubart being shared around on this big Discord server, which was an evident violation of Discord's terms and services, as Cubart is usually very disturbing images of minors as furries that are being played with by furry adults. However, TinyFeeks said this didn't violate any terms of service, even though the images were completely abhorrent. Outraged at this response from the admin, the conversations were eventually leaked online, and that's when people realized this wasn't an anomaly. Hundreds of other people had similar experiences with Discord admins, where these furry administrators on Discord would allow this cub content to proliferate all over the Discord platform. But they weren't only just leaving this content up, but they also were striking and banning anyone who questioned their narrative, which eventually led to one huge Reddit thread popping off, showing a bunch of examples of these furry admins banning anyone that didn't agree with them, banning people for all sorts of reasons. In particular, they used the reason for users being under the age of 13, even though this was almost entirely untrue. But eventually, as people became more and more outraged that Discord was being run by these furries, who were allowing all this content to proliferate over Discord, the wider team was forced to adjust their policy on cub content, as the public backlash was becoming way too big. However, this subtly highlighted the cracks in the Discord growth model. By cutting down the team to be so small and lean, they were outsourcing important roles to some questionable people. And this lack of oversight has led to the wider issues we're now seeing today at Discord, especially when you remember Jason's old business OpenFaint and the lawsuit that came his way from it. As recently, people are seeing that Discord may be one of the worst apps for data privacy. The company always likes to say they would never sell your data and only make money from Nitro Boosts, but this isn't entirely true. I mean, in Discord's terms of service, they claim to, quote, make money from paid subscriptions and the sale of digital and sometimes physical goods, not from selling your personal information to third parties. But that doesn't mean your data is safe with Discord, as they later claim in the terms that, quote, we may share information with vendors we hire to carry out specific work for us. We may also share limited information with different platforms to help reach people we think will like our product and to measure the performance of our adverts shown on these platforms. We do this to help bring in more users to Discord and provide only the information required to facilitate these services. This may include information like the fact that you installed our app or registered to use Discord. We may also share information with our related companies, including parent, affiliates, and subsidiaries and other companies under common control. And so it might not come as too much of a surprise that Discord does have some very questionable practices with how your data is being used. For example, if all of this is making you feel a little bit weird about the app, you might decide to delete your account. But when you do try to delete the app, your account data will never be truly deleted. For 2 weeks, you get a choice on whether to permanently delete your account or not. But after those 2 weeks are gone and your account is permanently deleted, it seems like all of your data will be deleted from the app too and its servers. But instead, it's been reported that they actually keep this data in their servers, storing your data even with your account being deleted, which is already creepy and unusual in and of itself. But according to the Mozilla Foundation, Discord doesn't have end-to-end encryption like, say, WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger, making your data extremely vulnerable to hackers. Even if your account is deleted, if a hacker broke into one of their servers, they would still have all of your information, and then they would have more access to your data and all of the things you don't want in hackers' hands than any other app like Discord. And this is where things take a very sinister turn. In a detailed BBC report, they discovered that there's an alarming trend happening on Discord, where Discord is becoming the primary app for cybercrime. And in the report, they go over the giant data theft that's happening on Discord right now, where criminals are discovering personal details of UK citizens, such as their names, addresses, birthdays, passwords, and complete banking information from Discord. But the truth about Discord goes way beyond just personal data theft. Scammers are frequently impersonating Discord officials and partners, particularly posing as customer support personnel. This deceptive strategy is coaxing unsuspecting users into revealing sensitive information like login credentials and credit card numbers, whilst also disseminating malware that's even beginning to attack large corporations like Amazon. I mean, the issue is getting bad everywhere at the moment. Just normal retail theft is already a significant challenge in the US alone. According to a recent survey conducted by the National Retail Federation, the retail industry in the States faced an average inventory loss rate of 1.6% last year, which culminated to about $112 billion in losses. But now, Discord is becoming the springboard for these activities. And Amazon's particularly been facing issues with this. In December of 2023, Amazon's customer protection and enforcement team initiated legal action against 20 individuals linked to the ORC gang known as REC, along with 7 former Amazon employees implicated in an insider refund fraud scheme. And they discovered that Discord was the primary app used by these people, becoming home to social engineering techniques used to manipulate customer service processes. The subreddit REC Refund Service belonging to REC provided up until very recently a detailed explanation of the services offered, and even outlined how REC functions in a question and answer format. REC also openly promoted its refund services on Discord, which gave rise to the infamous Amazon Discord scam, specifically a Discord server named Luna Methods that was providing Amazon refund services in exchange for a fee by taking advantage of Amazon's error-prone delivery system. Fraudsters were demanding a 20% initial payment and asserting that customers could purchase costly items from Amazon and then report them as not received and obtain refunds. REC's operations were extensive and exhaustive. They weren't limited to one specific area, and they had partners scattered around the world, from the US, UK, Canada, Netherlands, Greece, to Lithuania. One of the individuals implicated was Andrew Ling, who allegedly purchased 5 iPads included with REC to request refunds. The scheme involved a sophisticated phishing attack that coerced an Amazon distribution center worker into falsely marking the iPads as returned in the system. Upon receiving the iPads, Ling allegedly worked with REC to fraudulently obtain a refund for the products. REC then proceeded to carry out a phishing attack on an Amazon fulfillment center employee in order to manipulate the system into falsely showing that all 5 iPads had been returned. Others like Jenny Tran also placed orders on Amazon for 2 Apple MacBook Air laptops, resulting in the products being shipped via Amazon Logistics, but after receiving the laptops, Tran then sought the assistance of REC to allegedly obtain a refund for the items, and so both Tran and REC would claim that the laptops were never delivered, going as far as providing a fabricated police report to support their claim, leading them both to successfully steal 2 MacBook laptops, while REC profited from facilitating the fraudulent activity. And this happened to many, many people. But the issue went much deeper than just some fraud server on Discord, because you see, when you access Discord, a user authentication token is sent to your computer by the platform, but it just recently came out that cybercriminals often attempt to steal these tokens through ransomware that targets servers specifically on Discord. These ransomware applications may be hidden in phishing links or deceptive files posing as free games, cheat codes, or copyrighted software, and having unrestricted access to moderator or verified accounts lets these bad actors engage in subsequent fraudulent activities across the entire site without anybody even knowing. Now, there's already a whole string of name and shame scams. Here, hackers gain access to legitimate accounts and then send messages to the contacts of the user. And since the messages seem to be coming from a reliable source, someone that you trust online, people are never thinking that this person's entire account has been hacked. And because it's so easy to do on Discord, it leaves open the door to a world of shady possibilities, from making false confessions to verbally abusing a contact, which is why it's probably no surprise that Discord is home to a number of crypto scams, even NFTs, and yes, they're still kind of a thing. And people hack into these Discord accounts from NFT artists, pretend to put up these cryptocurrency rewards for their art, and then employ fake webhooks to deceive Discord members into sharing sensitive data, such as details about their crypto wallets. I mean, it got so bad in 2021 that one of the main NFT servers, Bored Ape Yacht Club's official Discord server, was infiltrated and targeted by a phishing attack, aiming to deceive users into creating counterfeit NFTs. And this stuff is running rampant. And at the end of last year, Discord was involved in one of the biggest scams in its history. You see, according to a recent report by cybersecurity company Trend Micro, hackers exploited Discord's content delivery network, otherwise known as a CDN, to distribute the Luma Stealer malware. Additionally, they used Discord's API system to develop bots that could communicate and remotely control the malware. And in order to evade detection, the hackers involved used various Discord accounts to send direct messages to potential targets, and then they would use already hacked Discord accounts for this purpose, meaning that a message supposedly from your friend could actually be from a hacker. Regardless of the type of Discord account used to contact individuals, the message sent by the hackers in this campaign remained consistent. Essentially, what they were doing was they were approaching potential victims under the pretense of needing assistance with a project in an attempt to persuade them to test it out. And as a reward for their time, victims were promised $10 via PayPal or a Discord Nitro Boost, which grants access to special perks and features for specific servers. You see, these hackers thought these young gamers, the people using Discord, might be susceptible to falling for the scam, as testing the project and leaving a review only requires 4 to 5 minutes of their time. And so they would see this as easy money, just like any young person using Discord would. And so prior to commencing the testing process, the hackers would then send a harmful link that downloaded an installation file containing the Luma Stealer malware. Upon activation, the malware essentially pilfers funds from cryptocurrency wallets and extracts sensitive information such as usernames and passwords saved in the victim's browser. And then once they acquired all these Discord users' credentials, they would then get access to a bunch of their social media accounts, engage in fraudulent activities, and in some cases, even assumed other people's identities. So who are these people doing this? Well, this is what was deeply disturbing about this hack, is that neither Discord nor anyone on the site has ever figured out who actually did this, and the hunt is still on for them many months later. However, what we do know is that Luma Stealer is suspected to have been created by a threat actor called Shamal, using the pseudonym Luma. And this information stealing software was actually promoted on underground Discord servers and could be purchased on Luma's authorized sales platform for a mere $250, which means just about anyone could get their hands on this. Luma, like other information stealing malware, has the capability to gather system and program data from compromised devices, as well as sensitive information like cookies, usernames, passwords, credit card numbers, browsing history, and cryptocurrency wallet details. Typically, Luma is distributed disguised as pirated or counterfeit popular software, such as VLC or ChatGPT. Additionally, as shown, it's also used to target cryptocurrency wallets like Binance and Ethereum, along with browser extensions related to crypto wallets and two-factor authentication. But that's not all. A couple of years ago, Creekcraft, a YouTuber with a huge following, exposed a giant scam involving Roblox hackers who managed to steal more than 100 million Robux.
This is a group that has stolen hundreds of millions of Robux from top Roblox developers. I'm talking literally over 100 million Robux,
which is equivalent to around $1.25 million from unsuspecting Discord users. Yes, the currency in Roblox literally has its own currency conversion into US dollars, but that's another matter. So Keek noted in his video that this group had somehow managed to go unnoticed, even though they had stolen tens of millions of Robux from top developers, making them the biggest Roblox hackers in history. So what happened here? Well, it all started in October of 2022 when Creek was added to a Discord group. A user by the name of Flair, a Roblox developer, and his co-developers told Creek that they had been hacked. Not only had the hackers taken their game down, they had also stolen all the Robux, well over 5 million. Flair and his colleagues asked Creek if he could call Roblox and do something, but when he asked for details on how exactly they got hacked, Creek says,
"And well, I asked them for some details on how exactly they got hacked, and this is where things got interesting."
They told him they were hacked by a Discord server called Scriptbloxian Studios, a really well-known Roblox developer. Their X account has close to 250,000 followers. The studio even made Ninja Legends, so according to Flair & Co., Scriptbloxian's Discord server with roughly 40,000 members carried out the heist. But when Creek did some digging, he found out that Discord server was a big fat fake. Most of the members were bots. Yet, by making the server look legit, the scammers managed to lure in some of the biggest developers and YouTubers in the Roblox sphere. A very sophisticated trap. The hackers' modus operandi involved creating fake accounts of well-known users and fabricating direct messages conversations to make it appear as though the victim was or was engaged in fraudulent activities. Subsequently, the fraudster presented this falsified evidence to server moderators, leading to the banning of the innocent user. Following the ban, the scammer reaches out to the victim, posing as a moderator who can reverse this ban. The imposter then subsequently asked the target to share their screen on Discord in order to demonstrate their innocence, thereby revealing their Roblox login cookie and granting the hacker entry into the target's accounts. Well, it turns out that Discord is the breeding ground for cybercrime like this. Discord has also become a hotbed for doxing, a nasty process that involves seeking out and disclosing personal details about an individual online, usually with harmful intentions. Doxing is incredibly reckless and sometimes has fatal consequences. Innocent people lose their lives because of this stuff. And in 2022, Clara Kefal Sorrenti, a popular Twitch streamer, was doxed shortly after being swatted. In a video posted after the incident, Sorrenti described feeling terrorized by police, who arrived at her home with assault rifles.
They pulled me out into the hallway and arrested me, telling me that I was under arrest for threats as well as possession of an illegal firearm.
Following the swatting incident, she relocated to a hotel, only to be doxxed by an online hate group. Sorrenti innocently shared a photo of her cat in the hotel room on her Discord server, which her harassers used to identify her location by cross-referencing the bedsheets with local hotels. They then ordered multiple pizza deliveries under her dead name to demonstrate their knowledge of her whereabouts. In response, she expressed concern over the threat posed by her harassers, stating that she and her fiancé relocated to a new undisclosed location, and she revealed that users of this forum had managed to narrow down her address to two possible locations, and consequently, more SWAT teams were dispatched to both addresses, one of which belonged to an old Italian man sharing the same surname. Of course, Discord doxing is also a major problem in the US. Even people in positions of supreme power are not immune to this stuff, as Know Your Meme has reported before. You see, around the very same time that Sorrenti was being exposed, the residential locations of conservative Supreme Court justices cases was also being leaked via Discord. Lawmaking heavyweights like Clarence Thomas, Brett Kavanaugh, Samuel Alito, Amy Coney Barrett, all made headlines for the reversal of Roe v. Wade in mid-2022. So in response, angry pro-abortionists resorted to doxing, leading to the organization of mass demonstrations outside the justices' residences. Worryingly, as this report outlines, doxing is on the rise. In fact, according to this report, approximately 4% of the American population have reported being victims of doxing attacks. To put into perspective, that's an estimated 11 million individuals we're talking about here. The number's probably even higher than that, and this number alone is already more than the entire population of Sweden. Nearly half of these victims have had their home address or emails exposed to the public. One in four victims, according to the report, stated that their photos or videos were distributed online by the doxers. One in five victims, meanwhile, reported that personal information about their families was shared. And platforms specifically like Discord are making this problem so much worse. I mean, it's getting so bad that the state of California is now working on a law to give doxing victims some degree of power. And if this is sent into effect, the legislation would provide victims with an avenue to pursue civil justice, including compensation of up to $30,000, coverage of court expenses, and reimbursement of attorney's fees. However, catching doxers who use platforms like Discord could prove to be very difficult, considering its high degree of anonymity. And this is why the problem on Discord seems to be getting so much worse recently. There was just a report by Intel that emphasized this very fact, as the report specifically outlined the methods employed by hackers to recruit and conceal their activities on Discord. In the broader context, online discussion boards have traditionally served as safe havens for hackers seeking to entice others into their ranks, or share confidential information about their operations. In the past, hackers would create their own discussion boards to exchange stories, sell stolen data, and acquire new skills. However, there has been a shift towards utilizing mainstream communication platforms like Discord and Telegram, which is far more convenient for sharing documents and rebuilding communities following potential law enforcement interventions. Notably, The Comm, a group that initially established its membership through Discord and Telegram, is believed to consist of members who now form Scattered Spider, one of the biggest hacking groups in recent times. Scattered Spider, also referred to as Star Fraud, UNC3944, Scatterswine, and Muddled Libra, is involved in data extortion and various criminal activities all around the world, but mostly in the US. And these people are highly skilled in social engineering, utilizing a variety of techniques such as phishing, push bombing, which involves taking advantage of push notification processes, and SIM swap attacks to acquire credentials. And last year, they were able to infiltrate the internal systems of both Caesars and MGM through various social engineering techniques. By obtaining login credentials and one-time passwords, the group managed to circumvent multi-factor authentication measures. Now, to be clear, MGM and Caesars are the two giant companies that control the entire Las Vegas Strip. They own everything there, working hand in hand to suck money out of everyone on the Strip. And so Spider justified their attack on MGM by claiming retaliation for being caught attempting to manipulate slot machines in their favor. Following the breach, Caesars Entertainment paid a ransom of at least $15 million to Scattered Spider. They even went so far that the group accessed driver's license numbers and even social security numbers of a huge amount of Caesar customers. According to the Intel report, even individuals leaking government secrets recognized the advantages of platforms like Discord for disseminating stolen documents, as was shown by the Pentagon document leak last year. Many individuals in the security field who were initially gamers seeking ways to cheat or modify games became inspired to explore the workings of reverse engineering. As the authors write, quote, "Many cybersecurity professionals admit their interest in security came from a younger interest in hacking and modifying video games. The advent of Discord and its popularity with the gaming community makes it a logical home for many with the same interests. The development of this community, which has always had a connection to the gaming community, is deeply intriguing. Gaming is fun, but dismantling the status quo is many times more fun. Why be a gamer when you can be an anarchist making millions in cash?" Intel 471 researchers are currently monitoring at least 12 Discord communities where discussions related to criminal activities and hacking techniques are taking place. However, there are also groups where malicious hackers openly discuss their criminal activities, host malware on Discord servers, and attempt to sell stolen data from recent cyber attacks. I mean, it's really insane when you actually think that this is happening in broad daylight on a widely used app like Discord. One particular Discord channel, as the report notes, offers training in various malicious hacking activities such as phishing, password cracking, and creating fake IDs. Now, of course, Discord isn't the only platform utilized by cybercriminals. They're also using things like Telegram and other competitors to Discord. But although Discord isn't the only one being used, it might be the most troubling. And from the looks of it, it's only going to get crazier as the Discord team fails to control the app properly. Billions are at stake if Jason wants to continue the growth and investments into the company. But they are walking on eggshells, and only only time will tell how Discord will be able to manage these deepening problems.